The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning to everybody on this Thursday, the 8th day of June 2023. How we doing? Bracing for the weekend? Bracing for some trip? Well, Didge, it's coming a few days away. But before the weather gets truly hot, we have topics that are truly hot this morning. Yesterday, mid-afternoon, we met a man named Tony Busby. Maybe you've heard the name, maybe not. A prominent Houston attorney, big in Republican circles, ran for mayor of Houston in 2019, lost to Sylvester Turner because, hey, it's Houston. But this is the high-powered and accomplished attorney who will lead the team that will defend Attorney General Ken Paxton in an impeachment trial that has some timing uncertainties about it. One of the timing uncertainties is when it will begin. I have said that the window, they said the word has been that it will not start after August 28th. Oh, thanks. So it's not going to be next week, but it's not going to be November either. So it'll start, we are told, by August 28th. And the first thing that occurred to me was, why in the world does it take that long? I totally understand why it doesn't start tomorrow. I totally understand why it doesn't start next week. I can understand why it doesn't start this month. These articles of impeachment were cobbled together in days. The investigation didn't take as long as we may wait to start this trial, an investigation held behind closed doors under shrouds of secrecy, injecting into suddenly repelled Republican members of the House an urgency that came straight from the biases and the aggressions of House Speaker Dade Phelan. Anyway, it is Mr. Busby and a co-counsel, Roger Cogdell, who'll be doing most of the heavy lifting in the trial. But the second element of uncertainty about the Paxton impeachment trial is, how long will it be? We've seen presidential impeachment trials that lasted some days, maybe a couple of weeks. It is Mr. Busby's assertion that this could take absolutely months after months after months, 20 articles of impeachment, elements that they wish to explode in every single one. As Mr. Busby had, and you'll hear some of it because I'll give you some of the journalism on this that ran last night and this morning, as Mr. Busby went into his actual presentation yesterday at the GOP headquarters in Austin was about 35 minutes. We'll give you some of that. In fact, starting at 8 o'clock hour, we'll do a deep dive into what Mr. Busby said. And if you're wondering, what is it? Why is this guy laying his cards on the table? Why is he, you know, laying out all kinds of strategy? Shouldn't they just keep all the powder dry, keep everything close to the vest, and just unload when the impeachment trial actually begins? That's a way to go. But everything is such a matter of the court of public opinion right now. And everything is such a matter of mind games, to borrow from John Lennon. And in that, the Republican House managers who have snagged two incredibly storied and incredibly old attorneys, Rusty Hardin and Dick DeGaron. But unlike Joe Biden, I believe they have their marbles about them and will do a great job bringing the prosecution. Mr. Hardin has said that what you see in the articles and what you've heard so far, that it's actually 10 times worse. It is the Paxton defense team's assertion that there is absolutely nothing to any of this, that Attorney General Paxton is innocent of all of it. okay, doesn't seem to leave a lot of room for nuance, and so we'll see how this rolls out. And part of the mind game is to say, okay, you tormentors of Ken Paxton, Democrat and Republican, get ready, roll up your sleeves, because we are going to bury you in testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony to explode the paper-thin allegations that you're bringing against us. And you can spend those months after endless months watching your political careers erode over there in the House where 60, count them, 60 Republicans voted to impeach. And I believe in many, many cases because Speaker Dade Phelan told them to. So how long, when will this thing start? Nobody knows. How long might this thing last? Nobody knows. And it's obviously going to be a huge story with much of the summer wrapped up in anticipation of what will happen and a lot of back and forth from a lot of the key players. Attorneys will be doing a lot of talk. It'll be interesting how much some of the House attorneys will be talking. Will we have Dick DeGaron and Rusty Hardin out mouthing off about what a demon spawn Ken Paxton is and how they're going to, you know, take this scalawag down? I don't know. But the defense team was on it yesterday, and you'll hear some of that, and we'll start to dive into some of that in the 8 o'clock hour. Speaking of anticipating things, as we anticipate this day of hot topics and the coming hot weather, because, hey, it is a Texas summer. Lord, guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of this new day. We thank you every day for this blessed nation and for your direct hand in creating it. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge. Lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America, where our Constitution is honored, our schools and public spaces are safe, where our elections are reliable, our borders work, where we protect the unborn, where we fight for the meaning and the intent of the two genders you created, and where our differences, and we will have many, are hashed out with honesty and goodwill, and our freedoms of speech and worship are protected as we do. As we face each day's problems, Lord, give us the clarity to look around and cherish our many, many blessings in our great nation, our state of Texas, our communities, and our families. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything. And we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. Last night, working my way through some Channel 11, some CBS 11. Anchor Doug Dunbar worked us through some of the audio from yesterday on the Paxton story.
Among the 20 allegations against him, abuse of his office. His attorneys called the accusations false, said given the evidence, they don't believe the Texas Senate will vote to remove him from office permanently.
Paxton is innocent of these accusations.
Now, this is Dan Cogdell. I think I called him Roger a minute ago. Sorry. Dan Cogdell, who, along with Tony Busby, will be leading the legal charge to defend the attorney general.
Let's not let that get lost in the weeds. He is absolutely 100% innocent of the accusations.
The people of the state of Texas are entitled to know whether their top cop is a crook.
Well, the charges have been hanging from the rafters for years. Our court system has yielded nothing. The so-called whistleblowers had their say. And that sparked an FBI investigation, which has produced nothing. So, the last time I saw, Ken Paxton got nearly 4 million votes in a resounding reelection. It seems that the people of the state of Texas, who will be invoked often by the 60 impeachment cheerleaders, especially the Republicans, Democrats have free and clear sailing. These are Democrats. They're going to go after, you know, one of the most conservative leaders in Texas, but it is the Republicans who are sweating bullets right now. Can you imagine the backlash that will befall some of these in the impeachment 60 if this impeachment effort fails in the Senate? Let me let this finish and I'll tell you what my thoughts are on the likelihood of that failure.
We intend to present these 20 articles of impeachment in a fair way.
The word fair should sting coming out of the mouths of any of these people. There has been very little that has been fair about the process by which we find ourselves in this impeachment stench. Paxton's side not allowed to testify. Paxton's side not even told that any of this was happening. Yeah, really fair.
No trial date set as of yet, but we do know it will begin no later than August 28th.
So there we are. Now, let's take a look at this. I reach for my list of senators. There are 31. 19 are Republicans, 12 are Democrats, so that's 12 impeachment votes. And what do you need to have? You need to have 21. One of them is Ken Paxton's wife, Angela. I can't say enough about her. This is a magnificent woman. And I can't imagine. It's just, she's been dealing with a lot, let's just say. And now she has to deal with a vote that I believe she has to cast. A lot of people are saying that she should recuse. I don't. I think there's still people looking at the nuts and bolts of this. I mean, because frankly, who in the world would ever want to recuse from an impeachment? Why would there ever be a need to? I don't even know if the writers of the Texas Constitution envisioned a spouse of an impeached person looking at the notion of voting to eject or not eject her husband or his wife. There are 25 of the 31 who were not just freshly elected. Six of them are brand new. 23 are men and 8 are women. People are kind of tapping on me on social media. Hey, Mark, there's some people saying that there's no way Paxton gets convicted. Matt Makowiak, my good friend down in a wonderful analyst down in Austin, who is the Travis County Republican chair, told Jason Whiteley on Channel 8 over the weekend that he doesn't think? Because I will tell you, I don't think he gets convicted. Does it take the level of a prediction? Does it take the level of now I'm going to stop short of that, because once a ball gets rolling. I mean, there are names, and it's funny because these are people whom I know, just some names of people I've been close to, friends with, involved with, spoken to multiple times, and they are names like Brian Hughes, like Bob Hall, like Kelly Hancock, like the newly elected Phil King, like Brian Birdwell, salt of the earth. Paul Bettencourt, I don't know, but I know of his conservatism. Oh, Tan Parker, freshly elected Tan Parker. These are people whose conservatism is beyond doubt. These are people who I know have an appreciation of Ken Paxton's achievements. Because a lot of these folks in the House, they just hate him because of how conservative he is. If there's anything these moderate squish rhino weasels hate, it's real rock-ribbed conservatives because we make them look bad. We make them look weak. Because they are. I know these guys and I know of their conservatism. It is not their conservatism that should drive them to acquit Ken Paxton. It's not their feelings on any issue that should guide anybody's vote on this. It will with every Democrat. Democrats hate Ken Paxton. They will vote to impeach. I wonder if there is a Democrat. I wonder if there are Democrats who will look at this impeachment case and have any human ability to say, you know, I disagree with everything Paxton does, but this case is weak and it seems suddenly concocted. And I just think I'm going to have to vote to acquit. Just even saying that sentence sounds like stand-up comedy. That won't be happening. There will be 12 Democrat impeachment votes. But of the 19 Republicans asked the same question, should Ken Paxton be thrown out of office? If they do vote to acquit, it needs to not be because they love Ken Paxton. Sitting right here with you right now, my attitudes on this need to not be because I've been a friend of his for a couple of decades or because I admire everything he does politically, but because I genuinely, objectively believe that the charges against him are hooey. So the trial will happen. We will watch the trial. We will cover the trial. And we will see if the trial rises to the level of something that makes an objective, reasonable person say, wow, that's bad. He deserves to be kicked out. If someone sincerely feels that way, well, they got to do what they got to do. Will these magnificent names, these pillars of conservatism in the Senate, will it strike them that way? I don't know, and I don't think so. But so what am I going to do? what will I advise everyone to do? Say it, say it. Let the game come to us. Speaking of which, there was a game in DFW last night featuring a noteworthy figure who did something that we didn't know if we would ever see her do again, but she did. Tell you what I'm talking about next, 720.
Hold me deep. Oh, hold me deep.
From Silk Degrees.
Close the window of my life.
I know I could have done Lido Shuffle.
Right.
Or Low, 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 Low Down. Give me some We're All Alone from the great Boz Skaggs.
Let it all begin.
Oh, 79 today.
Now.
William Royce Skaggs, born this date, 1944. Wow, Boz Skaggs, born a couple of days after D-Day. How about that? Younger than the president. Born in Canton, Ohio, but then the family moved to Plano. And Bosley wound, you know, we got the nickname from Steve Miller. He and Steve Miller were both at St. Mark's, and somebody gave him a cello at like the age of nine. He got a scholarship to attend St. Mark's. That's where he met Steve Miller, and gave him some nicknames: Bosley, Boswell, Bosworth, and it became Boz. And thus it followed thereafter. So happy birthday to Boz Skaggs. Okay, last night, College Park Center, UTA campus. That's where our hometown WNBA franchise, your Dallas Wings, that's where they play. So don't get ahead of me. That's right. It was because you've known that she's been back for a while and standing for the national anthem while rotting in a Russian prison might give you some clarity about your country, mightn't it? So last night after the Wings, actually it was 84-79, I want to say, the Wings beat the Mercury. Mercury's good. Brittany Griner, obviously good. Out of Baylor, out of WNBA fame, and out of Russian prison, did she stand for the national anthem last night? Yes, she did.
It was just a lot of support, a lot of support, a lot of support. It was just good seeing everybody. And then just being back in Texas. Like, I mean, I miss being here. So it was really cool. It was when I came out and they announced my name, the love, that meant a lot to me.
And I'll tell you something means a lot to me. First of all, her journey to clarity. We'd like to think that some of these America haters would not have to rot in a Russian prison to develop some relative appreciation for the country that gives them the freedom, especially to be as rich and as famous as Brittany Griner is. But she also seems to be making good on her promise. There were guests of hers and a lot of awareness done on Americans, because we've got these couple of folks who are still in Russian hands, and there are others held, they and their families assert, improperly across portions of the Arab world. Americans held in Dubai, Americans held, I mean, I know some of the supposedly friendly Arab countries, huh? And I got to tell you, she said, coming out, she said, I'm going to make this a little cause of mine to shine the light of awareness on a bunch of Americans who are held improperly, you know, as she asserts that she was. So, you know, on a couple of levels, good for her. All right, 7:30. Let's head into the newsroom, see what's going on with Gordon Griffin, and then we always want to know what's going on with my buddy and yours, Mike Gallagher. It is 7:30. I'm Mark Davis. Here's Gordon.
Well, you got trouble, my friend. Right here, I say trouble right here in River City. Why, sure, I'm a billiard player. Certainly mighty proud to say I'm always...
We know he knows the show. I mean, please, it's Mike.
In my hand are golden.
Come on.
Help me cultivate
the great Robert Preston.
Born this date. It is Robert Preston's birthday. There he is as
wow.
Harold Hill in that is the motion picture soundtrack from 1967. But he, of course, also was on Broadway with Music Man. Robert Preston, born this date, 1918, lived in 1987. Boom, there we are. May I begin? This literally just blipped moments ago. We have a major, major passing to report.
Yep.
Devoted evangelist, CBN founder Pat Robertson, who spread God's message to millions, ran for president, I think, a couple of times, Pat Robertson, has passed away at 93. What's your first thought?
Well, I think about how you and I often talk about the sadness of losing somebody at the age of 93 and actually recognizing what a celebration that should be.
People say it was tragic. It's tragic. He died at 93.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It's sad. His family certainly will miss him. He was really one of the first sort of TV evangelist style preachers who dove into the social issues head first.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was at the NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, and I interviewed Pastor Robert Jeffers, and we talked a lot about pastors that have to make the decision, do I get into these contentious social issues or not? Because a lot of men and women of the pulpit stay away from that. They don't want to get into abortion. They don't want to get into any of the so-called wedge issues. And Pat Robertson had no reluctance to do that whatsoever. He dove in head first. He tackled them. He talked about good versus evil. He came from a position of moral clarity. And make no mistake, the left always hated him. Boy, do they hate Pop Robertson.
Because he engaged in those battles. And, of course, members of the clergy can make whatever decisions their hearts and their consciences guide them toward. But I'm going to say something, and the world can tell me if I'm being fair or not. If you profess to be a man or a woman of God, if you profess to preach the gospel, if you profess to spread God's word, you can do so like a book on tape and just share gospel excerpts and say, there you go, go do that, go obey that. That's fantastic. But if you don't apply it to people's lives, if you don't spend your time saying that God abhors abortion, that God abhors the notion that a boy can be a girl, that God abhors any one of a number of things that God abhors, I think that the job strikes me as incomplete.
Well, you know, I also, the flip side of that is that there's a perception that the church pushes people away rather than being inclusive enough.
Ugh.
And, you know, and I, you Ugh. Know, I know, but there's a lot of people who've called me over the years and they've said, Mike, I don't feel welcome in that particular church. I don't feel welcome in that religion, whether it's Christianity, Judaism, Orthodox Judaism. There are many, many really strident voices that don't. And I admit this. I think there's some truth to this.
So don't be strident. You're so right.
You are so right.
So the message, we talk about this a lot, speak truth with love. And both of those are vital. When the truth is missing, when only the love and making people feel good drives the train, then you have churches saying, hey, it's okay to be trans. No, it's not. When it's just speak truth and there's no love, then you get stridency, harshness. No, you know what a church's message, you know what an actual Christian message is to anybody who's trans, anybody who's anything, anybody is, come on in. We welcome you. We welcome everyone. We will tell you what the Bible says. We will tell you God's opinion revealed through his word. But we don't ban anybody. We don't shun anybody. We don't advise families to ban or shun or punish or berate wayward or questioning people. Everything that's the kind of inclusivity that really speaks to Jesus. And so,
that's an important part of this, because I know of too many families who have shunned their children. I know of kids who, frankly, have committed suicide after being rejected by their moms and dads because of what they were going through, what these kids were experiencing. And I think sometimes those of us who are conservative and Christian, we don't focus enough on that. We don't remember that. We don't remember that very powerful message you just delivered, Mark, which is brilliantly put, you know, with love. Remember,
speak truth love. With love.
Speak truth with love. There's some real big truths coming down on the political pike. Trump has been told he is officially a target of their investigation.
Man.
You know what's been missing in all of this, and it's happening. I mean, Ted Cruz yesterday was great. We shared some of his comments on the show yesterday, where he said there's just no doubt Merrick Garland is going to indict Donald Trump. It's happening. It's going to absolutely happen. But the part of the equation that we don't spend enough time talking about, and we must, Joe Biden is authorizing his Justice Department to try to put his political opponent in jail.
Yes.
We've got to remember that over and say it over and over again. The 46th president of the United States wants the 45th president, who's going to be likely his primary challenger next year, mm-hmm. in prison. Mm-hmm. Now, this is right out of Venezuela, baby. This is right out of Cuba. This is what they do in third world countries. And we're doing it. And we're watching it sort of slack-jawed. And people are saying, oh, well, you know, I don't like Trump's mean tweets. He had boxes in the, you know, forget all the other classified documents that every other president has taken. Give me a break. This is repulsive. And we better keep remembering, Mark, what's going on here. We have a president, because Biden could stop this in a blink of an eye.
Of course.
And he doesn't want to stop it because he knows that Trump is coming. He fears Trump. And maybe the only way to stop him is to try to put him in jail.
Well, be careful what you wish for. And as you were laying out the numbers of this, 46 is trying to prevent 45 from becoming 47. And right. Here's sort of a typical Mark Davis moment. Every once in a while, at some point in history, we may have a former president who does something so heinous that he flat out deserves to be indicted for something. And if that ever happens, well, we'll have to sort of let the game come to us in that. But even Mike Pence, another rival of Donald Trump, now that he's in the Republican field, said in his CNN town hall last night that he hopes that this all gets dropped, that the indictment does not happen, not because there's no there, but because we're heading down this rat hole of the criminalization of politics. It's not good. It's divisive. It distracts us from the real problems that we do have. So on his first full day on the campaign trail, I think Mike Pence had that right.
Well, yes, but. Unfortunately, here's the headline from Mike Pence's town hall last night.
Yeah.
Pence said he'd absolutely support whoever the GOP nominee is, right after he told the crowd Trump should never be president again. You can't have them both ways.
No,
Mark.
No, okay, yes, you can. Okay, here's the first thing that occurs to me.
This will be interesting.
Okay, you ready? Here we go. It's the Words Mean Things talk show. It is Pence's belief that Trump. Maybe you've got something.
I'm waiting to hear. Go ahead. Let me sit back and hear this.
Dance on the head of a pin here.
Yeah, let's do some tap dancing here.
Here we go. I think I'll cobble this together. It is Pence's belief that Trump should never be president again. That's his belief right now, June 2023. If his campaign doesn't go the way he wishes and Trump does indeed wind up being the nominee, he may grudgingly still feel that Trump should not be president, but that is a lesser evil than another term of Biden.
Uh-huh. Let me translate, ladies and gentlemen, what Mark Davis just tried to say.
Yeah, I know.
Because Mike Pence could have said, well, I think that here's what Pence said, which is so egregious, and it makes me so angry.
Yep.
I get so sick of pulling out that clip where Trump told his supporters to please peacefully protest. I mean, that was the day of the speech.
Exactly. Why should you have to? Exactly.
And I have to because the mainstream media never plays it. They never want you to hear Trump saying, which is the complete absolving of any allegation that he's the mastermind of January 6th. And it's all a load of crap. Here's what Pence said last night. On that fateful day, President Trump's words were reckless. They endangered my family and everyone at the Capitol.
Dude.
What words?
I know.
What words
know.
Were reckless? I guess maybe Pence is buying, hey, should somebody play for the former vice president the clip that we've played over? And hey, Eric, play it for us. I mean, over. Here it is. Over and over again. These words, according to Vice President Mike Pence, endangered his family. Push the doggone button. Well, it doesn't work.
On the answer.
Eric's got the control of it. I'm trying to, tell me about it.
I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard.
That's dangerous,
Let's
Mark.
Let's do Google Translate is, I want you to go down there. I want you to hang Mike Pence, shoot the family. The people who hold responsibility for that are the people who did get violent at the Capitol. There are some
absolutely.
Who did. It was not Trump's fault.
It was not Trump's fault. And Pence went on to say, I believe that anyone who puts themselves over the Constitution should never be president of the United States. So, hey, and I like Mike Pence. I really do.
But my
message to him is, own it. You don't want Trump to be president, then own it. Stop pandering to the Trump supporters that you know you'll need if you think you have a snowball's chance in hell.
Exactly.
And just say you don't want him to be the president again. You can't have it both ways.
And here you touch on, and I'm going to bring Chris Christie into this, because Pence and Christie – ostensibly smart people in some way, are both engaged in one of the dumbest things you can do if you are trying to catch and surpass Donald Trump, and that is insult the people who love him. I mean, I get that you're a rival, I get, but here's the thing. Here's Pence talking about he should never be president. Here's Christie just insulting Trump over, under, sideways, down, which I guess he's going to do. What both, if these, either of these guys had a clue, it would be to say this. Look, I've got my differences with President Trump on a number of things. His agenda was exactly the right thing. I was so glad that he won, and I'm glad he was president. But moving forward, I don't think he's electable, and I am. That's what these people should be saying. If you want Trump-style policies, I'm your guy. He's sadly no longer your guy because he's not going to beat a Democrat. I will beat a Democrat. By the way, that's yet to be proven at the ballot box, but it's something you could say, and it's a smarter thing to say than Trump was a bum, because all that does is repel more than half of all conservatives.
I have to admit, I'm kind of enjoying Chris Christie because he's obviously decided. I think of the WWE. This is like professional wrestling. He's going to go in there and he's going to sling and attack. I mean, he was on a stage last night, walking back and forth, prowling and attacking Trump. Trump shouldn't look in the mirror, all this crap. Yeah. And I kind of like it. He's going to mix it up. I mean, listen, he's going to make it interesting.
Good for us.
It's going to be great for them. The talk show gods smile every time Chris Christie takes to the stage and then Donald Trump responds. I mean, and like I said, with all due respect to all of my weight struggles over the years, and I'm proud to have lost some weight with PhD weight loss and soda and all the great programs that do that. Let me break it to you. Chris Christie should never call anybody else a hog, ever. That's just what rules to live by. By the way, I got a couple of alarming texts from friends of mine, spies, who were listening to your show yesterday. Did you take some pot shots at my hero, Tucker Carlson? Were you actually mocking Tucker Carlson yesterday?
Good Lord, these people, the Tucker fanboys, the bow tie sniffers,
yes,
in full career.
That's us.
I played the... So Tucker uploaded, whatever, his first segment on Twitter. It's like 10, 12
Episode
minutes.
Episode number one, baby.
And it was great. It was just great to see him back in action. And what his contributions to Twitter apparently are going to be is it's going to be like his first segment of his hourly show used to be. They're not gonna,
I mean, did you see how many views he's got?
Absolutely. And it's
90, 100 million,
yep,
some crazy number.
And you know what?
I mean,
and Fox News is coming after him saying that there's some contractual thing. This is so stupid. And I'll get to your question here in a second. It's so stupid. If they fire him, he should be able to go make a living. If he walks off in a huff, the non-compete applies. But if you fire somebody, they should still be able to go earn a living. And Fox's point is like they're harming him in the marketplace. There's no Tucker Carlson post on Twitter that hurts any show on Fox. It's the internet versus the TV box. So here's what I did. Here's how the bow tie sniffers work. I have nothing but great things.
Will you explain what you mean by bow tie sniffers? Because he hasn't worn a bow tie in about 20 years.
All
so explain
right.
what
I
you mean.
I got to go for something. There is an old, wonderful, derisive term for people who fawn over athletes, who in covering them or referring to them. By the way, athletes should be held up in high regard. They should be role models. But when somebody is a little too just fawning and worshipful, there's an old term for them, and that term is jock sniffers, which is just vivid. So the sycophant Tucker worshiper who cannot abide the slightest shade, those are bow tie sniffers. So here was me yesterday. Great that he's back. The segment was great. Huge praise for the things that he said, except for the end where he seems to fawn over this moron who says we've got alien ships in a warehouse somewhere. So I guess that's it. Tucker is awesome. I'm so glad he's back. Every once in a while, Tucker may say something that I think is a little weird or maybe not my favorite thing, and I'm going to shock the world by actually saying so.
Hey. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, Mark Davis, Tucker Carlson hater.
Exactly.
Yep.
Hey, 60 seconds. Aren't I bet you're glad you're not in New York. The only thing worse than the Martian landscape that New York has become and the hardly breathable air, the only thing worse is the noxious fumes of the climate radicals saying that it's because of climate change. Ignore these lunatics.
All I know is that finally masks are being used for some good. I mean,
Even that didn't escape. I don't know who it was. Maybe 100 people tweeted, all these folks wearing masks around New York City. I'm thinking they still smell smoke. Does that maybe show you something about the effectiveness of masks? Bada boom. So there we are.
I'm wearing, if I'm in New York and I'm supposed to go there a week after next, hazmat I hope it's get cleared out.
Oh,
I'll wear one of those big fish tank bubbles. I'll wear one of those, the under one. And I haven't even gotten to the latest identity theft scam that I was subjected to. Let's do that tomorrow because I want to warn people because it was as sophisticated as it gets. Wait till you hear what I went through yesterday. So that and more. Happy Thursday. And thank you for the text message you just said. Mike, you should know Mark was definitely looking down his nose at Tucker for sure.
I want to be him when I grow up. So everybody shut up. I love you, man.
Love you, too.
All righty. That is Mike Gallagher with you. With you today as soon as we're done at 10 on 660 AM.
Just leave it to me.
This is the great Faye Adams and one of the top R&B records of 1953 called Shake a Hand.
I'll take care of everything.
So anytime I find one of these and roll it out, it's like, okay, let's see where this person was born. It's not a birthday or anything. It's just a random pick. Faye Adams, born in Newark, New Jersey. Just a little over 100 years ago.
I'll take care.
Wait for it.
Of you.
And still alive. Look at there. So, hey, Faye, some love to you. A little shake a hand from 1953. You know who else is 100, just turned 100? Henry Kissinger. He was old when I was a kid.
We must pay attention to the Vietnamese.
Anyway, Faye Adams' voice is better than Kissinger's or mine. So let me get out of the way and let her take us out and into the 8 o'clock hour. Do join us, Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The Answer.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.